Okay, this is Dexter Abraham, and joining me is Louis Elaine with My Note-Taking Nerd. This is podcast number two, and today we're going to be talking about just some random topics. I'm going to start with a few questions to Louis in reference to copywriting. And what made me think of this is I got invited to a group on Facebook for copywriting, and one of the questions that was asked there was to name the top, you know, their top copywriting books. And one of the things that I noticed was that after the top, you know, 7 or 10 standard, you know, old time and new books were mentioned, nobody really had much more to offer. And it got me to thinking about where, and let me preframe this by saying that I consider Louis to be an outstanding copywriter, and I've been able to watch his evolution as a copywriter through the years. And one of the things I noticed is that I believe that his style and copywriting got better when he started reading nonfiction. Now, Louis, just let me know. And that's okay, and I want you guys to know that this is, you know, we're just out walking, so if you hear me breathing heavy, it's because I'm a fat ass and I'm trying to get in shape. And so there's not going to be any retakes. I'm not going to be editing this per se, I mean, unless there's big mistakes. It's just us talking to you and sharing. So fiction, reading fiction books, I believe, actually took his copy to an entirely different level. And it's something that I myself haven't, you know, done. And I just kind of want to open up the podcast by asking you, Louis, can you give me like who you consider to be the top three authors in the fiction arena? Maybe who turned you on to them and why you consider them to be, you know, good writers.
Well, the person who turned me on to the whole idea in the first place was Dan Kennedy. And I started with his writers, with the writers he likes. And I've completely agreed with him on them being great.
And who were they, Louis?
The first one that comes to my mind is Elmore Leonard. And he does a couple of series. His specialty isn't series fiction, which is something I've grown fond of, but it's he's a magnificent storyteller. And Quentin Tarantino has remade one of his movies, Rum Punch, was one of Elmore Leonard's books that he turned into Jackie Brown. And he's got a series on FX that he contributes to called Justified, about a rain... I don't know what you call it. I wanted to say Walker, Texas Ranger for the stupid show.
He's not a constable.
He's a ranger, but I don't know what the technical term is.
He's one of those guys that's on an airplane. I don't know.
No, he's not a marshal.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a marshal. Yeah.
He's a marshal, correct.
Ranger.
So my question is, you know, what, when you're reading, what do you think, you know, the nonfiction, the fiction books, you can tell where my mind's at, those fiction books, how did they influence your writing?
Well, one of the key things that I think helps to make any kind of copy different, or any kind of just content you're doing different, one thing that could make it stand out is if you ever use dialogue. You know, so if you're having if you bring up a conversation that you're having with somebody and you weave that into a blog post or anything like that, it always looks better, and it breathes space into a piece of copy when you put together dialogue. And if you know how to do that, you know, and you can make anything fun, you know, the blog post fun, you can make a sales letter more fun. And that's one of the major things that could come from studying or reading fiction, is just to know how to just be able to write that. You just look at that and you see the structure of how it's supposed to look.
Sorry, don't mean to cut you off. So what you're saying is the, you know, learning how to structure sentences and conversational tones.
Yes.
And so my question is okay, so we've mentioned so far, you've mentioned Elmore Leonard. If someone were to go out and get one of his books, what would be like the top one or two books you'd recommend them getting without putting you on the spot, if you can remember?
If you like Quentin Tarantino, that style of movies and that kind of thriller action, Rum Punch would be, you know, one of them. The other ones, there's another movie that was made out of one called Kill Shot, that Mickey Rourke was actually it was in, but it was, you know, ended up being like a B movie, you know.
Now, okay, so Kill Shot and Rum Punch.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, let me ask you the next question, Lewis, which is, one of the authors, you know, because I've been by your side for these years, and I've noticed that one of the authors you were highly influenced by early on was Spencer. What's his name? Sorry.
Robert Parker.
Robert Parker, that's it.
Does the series, the Spencer series.
And he's another one that Kennedy kind of turned you on to, correct? Because I know Dan loves him.
Yeah.
And what about him, you know, what about his writing style makes him unique or different than, you know, say, the typical fiction writer?
Well, I don't know about the typical. I know what I resonate with the character of Spencer, which is, you know, a tough guy and used to box and is a renegade, you know, and just in spirit.
Okay, so I don't want to cut you off, but I want to make sure that the people listening to this podcast get what I'm getting. And what I'm hearing you say is that, so, you know, you pick up structure, how to structure sentences is one of the things we talked about, but also learning how to inject personality and characters in your copy is, I think, is important. You know, probably one of the most important things in today's day and age where audiences need and want to connect to you. So you're telling me that in this particular case, you related to the characters and you were able to begin to understand how to develop those characters. Is that correct?
Well, and that's the key. That is, with good writing, you shouldn't notice the writing. You should just be swept away. And so what that is instrumental in teaching. And
that's fine. I'm sorry, guys. I'm looking to make sure we're still recording you. Go ahead.
Well, the key thing why Dan even brought that up in the first place, these authors, was the idea of learning how to turn yourself into a character that people are interested in, because the premise he uses, that the, like me with this Robert Parker series, there's 30 plus books. I read all of them, and I read all of them quick. And so that's the premise, is that, you know, these characters are so engaging, all the little quirks that they weave, that the author weaves into the writing about this person, they makes you want to keep buying the next book, and the next book, because you want to find out what's going to happen in this person's life. And if you only are doing your content marketing and all you're giving is content, you know, that's you can get that in a textbook. You know, that's the opposite of what you want to be doing if you want to keep people coming back year after year after year, giving you money, is, you know, because they can get all that content pretty much anywhere on the internet.
So that's
nowadays.
And again, I just want to interject here, and, you know, I'm not cutting you off, but at the same time, we're not in a professional atmosphere. I'm not going to go back and edit this, so I want to go ahead and just interject something here, and that's that the difference between dry content or step-by-step how to do something content versus personality-driven content is that because of the amount of information that's coming online every day now, eventually, and I mean very soon, if someone wants a very high-quality answer for something, they're going to be able to immediately go out and get that answer right now in the form of, like Lewis was saying, textbook-type answers, which is good information. But what people really want, I think, is they want relationships, and they want to follow people. They want somebody to plug into, but they're not plugging into you just for the information. They're plugging into you because they believe in you, they trust you, and they like to follow your story. Is that correct?
Yes.
Lewis?
Yeah.
So, in the essence of time and moving forward, I'd like to ask you, who would be in the Robert Parker series? Is it the Spencer series?
Yes.
With Robert Parker, what would be a book or two to start there? Just kind of start from the beginning, or is there any particular?
That's me. That's what I like to do. I don't like to miss backstory. I don't like to not know kind of what's going on, and I like the idea of watching it unfold. So if you just jump in right in the middle, you know, there's gonna be, he does a good job of always, you know, kind of taking into mind that somebody's just gonna pick this up. You know, they're in the middle of the series, not kind of know what they're doing and want to grab them there. So he kind of gives you quick backstory, but there's some stuff you're going to miss. It's not going to be an incomplete read, but not a total loss. You know, like for me, example, to think about it with this with me, I started I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but now you do from listening to me. If you go and start a fiction series, they start and you look in the inside cover, you're going to see a list of all the books for the series. And they do it, the first book is on the bottom of the list rather than on the top of the list. And so when I went to go get that started with that Spencer book, I didn't know that. And so I grabbed the book that was at the very top of the list. So I started with the very last book and still fell in love with the series. And then I kind of figured out that I'd done that like through the middle of reading it or something, you know. And then I went all the way to the bottom of the list and started. So it's not like it can't be entertaining, but I'm just saying that I prefer it that way.
All right, Lewis. So we'll go ahead and go with you there. Me and Lewis, we fight all the time and disputes about, you know, rules and so forth. But I'm going to go ahead and agree with him there. I think it's important to probably, given the choice, to start at the beginning of the series. So he's suggesting just do that. And I would say if that doesn't bother you that much, you could probably pick up any book. It's still going to be a good read and you're going to get a lot out of it in terms of how to write, how to develop characters. Is that true?
Yeah, but I think the what is so powerful about the Spencer character, though, is all these life changes that have happened throughout his life and all these people that have come into his life that keep getting woven into the book and backstory that keeps getting woven into the stories as they move forward. And so the lesson, you know, of paying attention to fiction series novels that are popular is the premise of what this guy has woven into in letting you know about. Because it doesn't let you know about everything. There's certain key things that he lets you in on, you know, that have resonated, that have got people. So it's like one is his relationship with his significant other that he's never married over all these years. They've had this relationship where, you know, they're like committed to each other, but they don't think they need to be married. And so, I mean, there's that, you know, that has evolved and had all kinds of ups and downs throughout the series.
Okay, now
and,
looks like...
But that's a key thing that I think is going to be... Like Chris Rock was talking about this on one of his... Showtime did a series where they're interviewing comedians. And he was talking with the person that was interviewing. I can't remember what the guy's name was. But he said one of the key things that he always injects into his comedy acts is something about relationships with the opposite sex. He said people just love that. People just, it kills it. It kills it every time, you know. And so he said that's just like one of my mainstays that I always go with.
So from a writer's standpoint, whether you're blogging or, you know, you're writing to an audience, what you're saying is that you should include that as part of your ongoing story and storyboard, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, you look at People Magazine or any of those magazines, that's primarily what they're dealing with is people's relationships with each other, celebrities' relationships with each other.
Which is also why I think reality television is so popular,
yeah.
Because we live simultaneously through the lives of others. Now, I want to move on, and I want to ask you quickly about one more series if someone were to go out. And let's go ahead and, you know, another series I know you recently got turned on to that... I know you like a lot, and for the ladies out there, there's a woman, Belle Bondsman or something, that wrote a series, and I know you enjoyed it a lot. What was that called?
Well, the author that wrote it is,
yeah,
Janet Ivanovich, and it's the
step... Can you spell that out for him, just, at least attempt to?
Yeah, it's Evanovich.
Okay.
And... what is the series? It's the Stephanie Plum series. It's a girl that is a New Jersey girl, and one of her, like her uncle, is a bail bondsman, and she's just like dysfunctional kind of woman that's like super accident prone, and so she's got some dirt on the uncle, gets him to hire her just to keep, you know, initially sets out and says, hey, just go look for this one person, you know what I mean? It's something dumb. It's not like she's looking for axe murderers or anything like that. And then it just, the story unfolds from there about her kind of bumbling and, you know, the characters that come along that help her, that are like, you know, that, you know, help her when something gets real hard, you know. But it's just...
it's a great character-based,
yeah,
series.
Yeah, it's a completely,
okay,
you know,
so
character-driven series.
Again, what I want to...
They just got recently, they made a movie.
Oh, that's right, with
Catherine Heigl and
yeah, that's right, Catherine Heigl. I thought it was Cerise Theron, but or whatever her name is. Okay, so the main thing I wanted you to get, the listener, is I wanted you to understand that, you know, one of the core pieces or the foundational pieces for you as a online business person is to understand that in today's day and age moving forward, I believe that it's more important than ever to have a relationship mechanism, to have something that connects you to your market other than just a good sales page. I do not believe that years down the road that that particular approach in and of itself is going to work anymore. I think that the way you stand out, the way that you bond, connect with your relationship is to develop...
What do you mean with information marketing?
With information...
Selling information?
Information or anything, really. It's the difference between the JP... What's the Peterman catalog? What's it called? Sorry.
J. Peterman.
The J. Peterman catalog versus just some average, you know, whatever, X catalog from some...
Mervin's catalog.
Mervin's or whatever.
Or J.C. Penney.
If you go look at them, they sell a story about every one of their products. They have this magnificent story built around a sweater. Is it really just a sweater? Yes, but to them it's not. And that's one of the things I suggest to you is go take a look at that, because it's more important than ever today to understand that you have to have character, personality, something behind your product other than just a sales page. That is my belief, and that's why I wanted to talk about that. And now I'm going to go ahead and move on to something else, unless you had something quick to add, Lewis, but I want to make sure that we get moving on to something else.
Well, the thing I was going to say about Jay Peterman is just you can look him up online, and you can get on his mail list, and you can see all the copy they're writing, so you can get an idea of how good that works.
Well, good. There you go. And one thing, that if you have any questions, anybody that's listening to this in relation to copy, I can't guarantee he'll get back to you immediately, but sometime within 4 or 5 days, you'll receive a response. And that's, if you have any, you know, questions about copy or particular books that you think you should be reading or series, you could email Lewis at notetakingnerd2, that's notetakingnerd2@gmail.com.
The number two,
yeah, it's not spelled out. So notetakingnerd2@gmail.com. So now the second thing that I want to talk about, and if you can't hear, I'm about ready to fall over dead from breathing, just from walking, which I ought to tell you the state of health I'm in, but I'm out here doing this because of that, and I'm okay with it. So the thing I want to talk about is something that I got passionate about the other night, and I sent to Lewis and other people on the team and one of my other partners, and that's just the concept of what the internet marketing arena has turned into. I believe that for the most part, it's turned into almost the opportunity seekers market, where the gurus, if you will, are no longer giving any real valuable information. They're giving you what they know that you think you want, but not necessarily what you need. And which is not necessarily a bad thing from a selling standpoint, but it's a bad thing in terms of what actually works in the real world. And the thing that I wanted to talk about is this whole concept of what traffic and conversion is, what the typical internet marketing world, or in the information marketing world of internet marketing, and I'm talking about, you know, the Ryan Dices, the WSO crowd, you know, the gurus like that or the communities like that, what they're selling or what they think that conversion optimization and traffic is, are things like, you know, green buttons convert better than red ones. An arrow next to my call button is going to increase conversion by a certain percentage. Short is better than long. If I just change my logo color, then everybody's going to come running to my site. If I have a, you know, picture of a hot chick, my conversion's going to go up. Let's just launch live and see what happens, and we'll change as we go. We'll change headlines as we go. That's not what traffic and conversion is. As a matter of fact, it's, you know, I myself have fallen prey to this. I used to believe, and what that is a bunch of tactical approaches that are not necessarily true. The truth is, that a red button on my site may work, but yet a red button on your site might not work at all. It has to do with psychographics, demographics, where the lead comes from, all of those particular things. So what I would like to talk about is what I consider to be what real optimization really is. Okay, so what is real conversion optimization? What I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down into 8 steps as to what conversion optimization is for your website. Step 1 is setting up funnels. Okay, so how the traffic flows. Once the traffic gets to your site, how does it flow through your site? So what you want to do is you want to find out where don't people convert. Now the tools that you use are Omniture, KISS Metrics, Google Analytics. Now, I'll tell you that Omniture is, it's Omiture. It's a higher end, more expensive piece of software. KISS Metrics is kind of in the middle, but not that expensive. And of course, Google Analytics is free and it's very good. Now your goal is to analyze the point at which your user enters the site until they exit. And you, what you're looking for is you're looking to identify the gaps where you're losing your customers, and that's where you know you go to try to optimize your site. Now, how do you, step 2 is to build up. So step 1 is setting up your funnels and figuring out where people, where you're losing customers. Step 2 is to build a profile of what's happening. Now, how you do that is you use ClickTel, Experian, CrazyEgg, UserTesting.com, WhatUsersDo.com, and then of course you could use forms and surveys as well. Now, I'll tell you that ClickTel, Experian are again high-end, a little bit more expensive. Use them if you can afford them. CrazyEgg's a great piece of software. It's reasonably affordable, and essentially what it does is it is a heat map. It's the best heat map software out there, and it gives you a profile as to where people are clicking on your site, so you know where people are spending their time, what they're clicking on, and what, most importantly, what they're not clicking on, so you can optimize your website that way. Now the other thing is to use surveys and forms. KISS Metrics, if you go to mynotetakingdirt.com and if you look at the little thing on the right side and the thing on the that pops up at the bottom that asks you, you know, different questions, we actually get quite a few answers on that, which was surprising to me when we first started it. And then there's the feedback button on the right. Both of those are KISS Metrics. What you're trying to do is gather at the point of entry on various pages, and you want those questions to be directed around the specific pages, gather as much information so that you can begin to develop a profile as to what your customers are doing and why they're coming to your site. Now the next thing, so one is look at your funnel, find out what people are doing. Two is to build up a profile using ClickTel, Experian, CrazyEgg, User Testing, What Users Do, and then of course forums and surveys. Now 3 is to find out why prospects aren't converting. Now how you do that is you find out opinions and objections. Again, you use KISS Insights. And sorry, I kind of stepped ahead on the last deal there. The third one is actually to find out why, you know, get your customers' opinions and objections by using SurveyGizmo, SurveyMonkey, KISS Insights, etc. And a big way to do that is to use 2 tools. One, to have on-page and exit surveys, which is what I just talked about a minute ago. And then 2, something that's working very, very well, is live chat. There's a lot of different tools out there. You just gotta kind of research it. But live chat, where people can actually speak to you in real time or speak to somebody that represents you so that you're getting real-time feedback. Step 4 is maximize the most powerful thing you have, which is social proof. Gather expert reviews from peers in your industry. Build a back-end community so you can be in the conversation. create a referral program, like refer a friend or email a friend. You can get the tell a friend little button on your website that allows people to email three friends, and you know, you can get and collect media mentions, expert write mentions, exploit positive testimonials. Now, what do I mean by exploit? I'm saying that you want to create forms that kind of guide, so you have different examples with boxes below them of the type of testimonials that you want. And what you'll find is that your customers will give testimonials based around the examples that you give them, as opposed to just letting them say, hey, give me a testimonial, and they just give you some random testimonial. Figure out what are the gaps, the weaknesses in your product that you think the market perceives. Ask for testimonials based around that, and those testimonials can serve to help in that area. Now, five is strengthen and increase the average order value. So how do you do that? You have an effective promotion calendar. So have not just a promotion calendar, but a content calendar, to where you know that I'm going to be writing a certain piece every single day for 30, 60 days out. Promotions. What promotions am I doing? When am I doing them? Find a way for people to sample your products. How can they sample what it is that you're doing? So, for instance, on My Note Taking Nerd, we're creating what will end up being hundreds of mini landing pages where the customer can get a mini report, a mini sample of one of our reports as an opt-in, something we haven't done before that we think is going to work really well. Creating bundles and savings packs. Think about like AppSumo, a lot of those new type of websites out. Can you think of any other ones like AppSumo that I'm not thinking of, Lewis?
What do you think? Bundled packs? And
yeah, I mean, AppSumo does, you know, their best-selling products are bundled packages under, say, copywriting or, entrepreneur or whatever it is. They bundle packages together, and those are always their best-selling products. So again, bundling. And then most importantly, which everybody drops the ball on this particular thing, is rewarding your top 20%. Know them, speak to them differently, make them believe that they're part of something unique, because they actually are. So again, figuring out ways to strengthen and increase your average order value. Now, once you have, let's go back through this. Once you've created funnels, now what are funnels? Funnels are, somebody comes in, they opt in for a specific thing, they have a specific set of autoresponders for them, and they have a specific path that you guide them through in terms of what content they read, as well as the different offers they get based upon what their interests are. Building funnels. Then find out in those funnels, why aren't people converting? Okay, and we talked about the tools, and you may have to go back and take notes on that. Build up a profile, step two. What's going on your site? Three, find out why the prospects aren't converting. Using, exit strategies, exit pop-ups, surveys, SurveyMonkey, so forth. Four, maximize the most powerful thing we have, social proof, testimonials. Five, increase the average value of the order, that order. Again, we're focusing on today, the customer. How do you increase the value while they're there for that first time buy? Now, finally, wireframe solutions with tools such as Balsamiq, around the bottlenecks, challenges, and the solutions you've discovered. So once you have all this information, wireframe, by the way, is, rather than handwriting out what a website should look like or a process, Balsamiq is one of the best website wireframe solutions out there. So wireframe solutions. And then finally, test. Now, how do you test? There's really, I'm gonna mention three specific ways of testing today. One is a phenomenal tool that I'm just getting used to and using myself. It's called Unbounce. It's UNBOUNCE.com, unbounce.com. Two is Visual Website Optimizer. And then three is Google Website Optimizer. All three of those tools, what they allow you to do is manipulate different aspects of a page. Some of them do it differently than others. Unbounce, for instance, you create your landing page or opt-in page or sales page, and you can literally change any aspect on the change, and I mean anything, and then test that variant against everything else without having to recreate the whole page again. So it's very, very, very powerful. So again, I'm going to put kind of a PDF together with these steps for you guys, a one-page cheat sheet, and I hope you get something from it. It's been powerful for me. Just getting out there in terms of references as well, I recommend you check out conversionrateexperts.com, unbounce.com, kissmetrics.com, and quicksprout.com. And go to their blogs. Unbelievably good content in terms of what works. It's just very, very high-end content. So that's it for us today. Thanks for bearing with me as I breathed hard in your ear and suffered through this walk. We'll be joining you in another couple weeks. So let us know what you think of it, and talk to you later. Say bye, Lewis.
Bye, Lewis.
All right, there you go.